Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe Johnson pops out. He's hit three in a row. He fires again. He's got four in a row. Joe Johnson is levitating as he goes back the other way.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz. 10th of April, the Jazz fall to a Damian Lillard show and now have decisions to be made. The playoffs will start this weekend, and where will the Jazz begin? It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. As only can be the case after 80 games, I'm having a technical problem, so I'm recording this a little differently. Coming up today, I will post a podcast done with Kevin Pelton. I thought it was one of the most interesting conversations that we've had. It was kind of definitely intellectually driven. Some really deep thought stuff about the NBA. That'll post up at Locked On NBA later today. So we'll look at what happened over the weekend, where the Jazz stand now, what the right things to do are from here as the Jazz get ready to play the Warriors tonight, and break down some of the looks at that coming up on today's program. Today's show is brought to you by Devin Cash of Equity Real Estate. I don't know if Devin is actually our original sponsor. It does feel that way. I feel quite tied to having Devin around for and what he's in the connection he's made. He's a real estate agent in town. And what's really cool is that a bunch of Locked On Jazz people have had super experience with Devin. When we first talked to him, he said to me, "I approach real estate with the heart of a teacher. I never want my clients to feel uncomfortable with any situation. I love working with first-time homebuyers because I can guide them through the process from start to finish. When you need to talk to me, you talk to me. You won't have to deal with secretaries, receptionists, or coordinates. I never rush my clients into a decision they're not ready to make." Well, it's one thing when they tell you that. I talked to him enough. I had a pretty good feeling he's probably all right. I got some recommendations from people. Charity and Ryan shared some thoughts with me. Then Zach Campbell, I think it was, got his house in Bountiful. And then since then, we just keep hearing more and more. Then it was Kyle Diener from people about the experiences they have with Devin Cash. And they all back up what's cool. They all back up exactly what Devin says about himself. He's never pushy. He's always understanding. He's connected. He does a great market analysis of what's coming. So if you're looking to buy or sell a home or considering it anytime in the near future, give Devin Cash a call. 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. Also, if you just want a free market analysis for your house to understand what the possibilities are in this ever-changing world and this ever-changing market, give Devin a call. 801-759-1495. That's Devin Cash. Two free season tickets when you buy or sell a home with Devin. Now, it's a little different because of the playoffs now, so you have to figure out that little deal. He's altered it for a few people. But and he still will honor that same concept of the deal because he's not going to give you two free season tickets to San Antonio on Wednesday. It does you no good at all. So, two free season tickets when you buy or sell a home with Devin. And Devin can, and you guys can work out the details on that, but people have been very, very pleased. All right, let's go to our pins across the world as we fire up on this Monday from the Bay Area. I think I'm going to Giants opening day today. How cool is that, by the way? Just thought I'd share that. All right, this is from Blair Hodges. "I can hardly remember not being a Jazz fan. I became a Jazz fan in Hooper, Utah when I was in second grade. The only time I ever saw my father watching television was when the Jazz were on. I used to hide a radio under my pillow and turn the sound down low so I could listen to Hot Rod well after bedtime." Do kids still do that today, you think? Is it like their phone they're hiding? Like, what are they hiding? Sometimes I'd fall asleep before the game ended, so I'd tape record each game and re-listen on nights when Utah wasn't playing. When I was 15, the Jazz made it to the NBA Finals. Everyone likes to talk about where they were with a Stockton shot. Here's my shameful secret. I don't recall seeing that game. My father had been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and our family took what was to be our final family vacation during the Jazz Rocket Series. It was a confusing time. I remember wanting to care less about something so trivial as basketball while my father was dying. I guess I couldn't choose not to care about it. You know, I think that's a pretty good excuse there, Blair. I balled both times the Jazz lost in the final, and I'm over 30 now, and I still get a little sick feeling when I hear or see a film of Jordan hitting the shot over B-Russ. All the newspaper articles, photos I long lovingly compiled sat in a box in the closet for years as though entombed. One day I mustered the courage to throw them out. I never mustered the courage to read them. Sounds weird to say, but I think I still carry some psychic trauma, from the grief. Maybe because it has all been entangled in my father's eventual death, or maybe because the team meant so much as my identity as a Utah. To know we would have been world champs right there in my own state. Seeing the signs in people's cars and windows, the marquee, congratulations, the news coverage. Maybe it was the desire to see my boyhood heroes win the ultimate prize, to feel vindicated in my worship of them as paragons of hard work and excellent skill. Whatever the actual reason, the truth is it's never gotten over it. Sounds ridiculous to say, but it's true. The death of my father was certainly not easier to handle, but I would have been given the cultural tools to deal with the kind of loss than I do with this weird sense of loss over sport. I suppose it's a real mark of privilege that I could spend so much emotional energy on something so evidently trivial. It also feels a little shameful. But it's not a decision I make. It's a feeling I experience and a fact I deal with. I hope the reunion game this season would be an occasion to exercise some of those demons after 10 arrows. I probably never not feeling some grief toward that loss. Blair Hodges, Salt Lake City. So thank you very much, Blair. Appreciate the comments, the time. He asked me a question. He said he noticed during timeouts the whole team and staff gather to talk together. During other timeouts over, Coach Snyder and the rest of staff walk out into the paint away from the team and have a discussion. Can you unpack what's going on there? So on some timeouts, if the whole team gathers together, it's probably a 20-second timeout, and they're in a huddle and they don't ever sit down. And the full timeout, Coach Snyder and the staff usually discuss what they're going to talk about, which is often just giving a chance to players to breathe. As one coach said to me, I never have enough stuff to talk about throughout that whole timeout. I'm only trying to get them to understand one or two things. So if I go sit there and tell them that early, by the time we get out on the field floor, they will have forgotten what I would tell them, which is kind of a funny and different perspective to what's taking place. All right, let's get to our tip-off story of the day. Jazz lose to an incredible performance by Damian Lillard. It's really, you know, I had my piece to say on postcast about it. We got beat. You know, they're good, I think, is a huge part of why we got beat. And that's a part of this league you have to remember, is that the other guys are really good too. The loss puts the Jazz in a precarious situation about any chance of trying to get home court advantage at this point. The fact is that now the Jazz need Houston to beat the Clippers tonight. And then the Jazz would have to win both of their final two games. It seems pretty unlikely. The odds and numbers say that the Jazz will finish with 50 wins. The Clippers will finish with 51. The likelihood of us getting the fourth seed is really almost zero. Again, the scenario is that the Clippers lose to the Rockets tonight, and we beat both the Warriors and the Spurs. And so I think what we're going to see today is a decision that the likelihood of that is lower than the importance of getting healthy. And Derek Favors and Rodney Hood will not play today. Gordon Hayward, who picked up another thigh contusion from Myers Leonard, who has just no proprioception and is so gawky that he can't help but hurt people when he's out on the floor. It's just crazy. And so I think we may not see Gordon. This will be the second time we head to Golden State and don't throw out much of a team this year. And then I don't know whether they play against San Antonio on Wednesday. Is there any value of trying to get the team back together for 14 minutes of playing time before, you know, seriously, like if you decide, okay, we're going to start Favors again for the playoffs and George Hill's back, and so we're going to go play together Do you actually get anything out of playing together for 14 minutes? And my instinct on that is probably not. I mean, I think we're deep enough in the season that if you're trying to get some camaraderie or some togetherness or something of that sort, I don't think you're getting it. I think this is who we are. We're going to be this injury-riddled team that barely plays together and then heads to the playoffs. And I don't know if there's any value to having them play together any more than they already already haven't. The question a little bit is how do you get some of these guys to get right? You know, Derek looked good one night, not the other. I was surprised he played against Portland. He went out, worked out, felt fine, so he played, but I was surprised. We need him to be good. Rodney Hood, has never played more than 12 games in a row all season long. And hasn't been great since he came back. His last two games since he's back, he's 5 of 19 and 1 of 7 from 3. And, since this whole knee contusion kind of sat out and said he was just going to come back and fight through it, he's shooting 38%. He is shooting 44 from 3, which is nice. And so, and he was really hot there for a while. Rodney's got to get right. It leads to some really interesting lineup questions. You're just going to turn around and start all those guys again? Like it's day one of the season in the postseason? Or is Joe Ingles now your starting small forward with Gordon Hayward your shooting guard? And is Boris Diaw really your starting power forward for the postseason? These lead to some interesting questions on what the Jazz are going to do coming here forward and how they're going to do it. They are going to, in all likelihood, open in L.A., looking at the playoff schedule, considering they're probably not going to have home court, I think the likelihood, don't have any promises here, is that we start late Sunday night. It's when the Clippers last year playing. Who'd the Clippers play in the first round last year? Not Dallas. Not Oklahoma City. Portland. Who the Clippers played in the first round last year in Portland, it was an 8:30 start on their first game on Sunday night. And the structure is similar to what it was then because there's only two teams west of the Central Time Zone that are hosting playoff series, the Warriors and the Clippers. So Oklahoma City in Houston and Memphis in San Antonio are the other two west series. And that'll... The Warriors will play the ABC day game. That leaves, for the night games, you'll have to have either the San Antonio-Memphis game or the Oklahoma City-Houston on one night and us on the other. The later night of the two is Sunday. The late night Saturday game last year was a 7:30 game, the Mountain Time. The late night Sunday game was an 8:30 game. The later of the two being the one you want to have hosted in L.A. where it's more convenient for the fans. So that's the – and there's no arena blocks because the Kings are done and the Lakers are done is the way I would suspect that this plays. Now, that's just using logic and guess, but that would be my guess is that then – and then what's interesting is last year they pushed that series, and this I have no idea – if they're going to do again. But last year they pushed that series all the way out so that the second game wasn't until, I think, Wednesday. And then they went and played Saturday, which makes sense because we don't want to play home on Sunday. And then they played Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then game 7 would be back there Sunday. So that's last year when the Clippers played the Blazers, and who knows if it'll be the same, they went Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Would be interesting. Would mean we'd play one, have a lot of rest in our quest to get healthy. We'd have a lot of rest. I frankly think that would be the ideal schedule for us. Very, very little action early. And then starting on game 3, we would go every other day and hopefully be healthy and then wear down Chris Paul, if possible, and the Clippers. Pretty cool to know that we got playoff basketball coming and that these are the things we get to worry about along the way. The MVP ballots are out, or some of the ballots are beginning to come out. AP wrote a story today on their awards. I thought that was, it was really interesting. They have three ballots. Their Rookie of the Year were two Joel Embiids and one Malcolm Brogdon. Their Sixth Man of the Year were two Eric Gordons and one Andre Iguodala. Their Defensive Player of the Year was two Rudy Goberts and one Draymond Green. Their Most Improved Player was Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic, and James Johnson. Their Coach of the Year was two Mike D'Antonis, one Eric Spoelstra. And their Most Valuable Player was one Russell Westbrook, one James Harden, and one LeBron James. So that's pretty interesting to see. That's AP, three votes, and certainly and no consensus. So the voting is going to be just incredible. Oh, I mean, Russ did it again, won another game the other day. I have not been a Russ MVP guy, but holy smokes, am I ever wavering. All right, tonight on the Eastern Conference playoff front of things, there are some games. The Western Conference playoffs were set. Portland is in. We know the matchups. The only thing we don't know officially is where the Jazz are playing. And the logic at this point seems to be that we're conceding a little bit, that we are going to be the fifth seed. Be the first I think we may be the first division winner to start on the road in NBA history. Be the first division winner to start on the road in NBA history. Clippers are playing well. They've won 8 of 10. Over on the East, Chicago is 39-41. Miami is 39-41. Both Miami, Chicago, I believe, has that tiebreaker. Indiana is 40-40. So they win one and they're in at 41, I believe. Milwaukee is in. So Chicago, Miami, and Indiana are all battling for the final spot. Everybody else has slipped out. Right, and then Boston, it needs a win. Well, Cleveland's lost the other day. Boston's not out of the one seed anymore. Washington has slipped out. They will be the four seed, I believe, in all likelihood. Then Toronto and Boston will likely play in the second round, and Cleveland and Washington can battle in the second round as well. It's good. Should be good. Kind of holding and just waiting until we get there. The Jazz and the Warriors tonight, huge game. We haven't hardly talked about it at all. It's not as big a game. We just somehow have kind of taken the air out of these two matchups with the Warriors. Warriors here are on fire. They have won 14 straight. Durant will play. Steph Curry will play. All likelihood, Klay Thompson will not play tonight. The interesting note just came across. James Harden has scored or assisted on he's averaging 60 points produced per game. Wow. That's an insane amount. I still think he's my MVP. I might be wrong, though. I mean, there's no clear consensus here to how this can play out. That's today's show brought to you by our friends at our friend, really, singular friend, Devin Cash at Equity Real Estate. Call Devin at 801-759-1495. That's 801-759-1495. Have a great day.